headlines this hour. A passenger plane with 72 people on board crashes on landing in Nepal. At least 67 people are confirmed dead. 13 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank since the start of this year. In Russia, warning that the UK's plan to supply Ukraine with tanks and other heavy weaponry will only escalate the war. Thanks for joining us. At least 67 people are confirmed dead in Nepal after an aircraft went down in the western Pokhara region. The army says they expect to find more bodies as the passenger plane broke into pieces after crashing into a hillside. The plane was carrying 72 people, including two infants and 10 foreign nationals. Local officials say that there are some survivors. Nepal's prime minister has called an emergency cabinet meeting. Deadly plane incidents are common in Nepal, which is studded with eight of the world's highest mountains, including Everest. Such incidents have killed at least 309 people in the country in the past 22 years. Israeli forces have killed another Palestinian in the occupied West Bank. 45-year-old man identified as Ahmad Hassan Kahle was killed in the town of Silwad. Israeli authorities claimed that he was shot while carrying out a stabbing attack. His son was also injured and arrested by Israeli troops. Israel has stepped up attacks in the occupied territories over the past several months. Regime forces have killed 13 Palestinians in the West Bank since the beginning of the year. Last year's death toll of around 150 was the highest since 2004. The daughter of the late Iranian Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani says the U.S. failed to achieve its goals from assassinating her father. Zainab Soleimani said the first defeat for the U.S. was the glorious funeral ceremonies held for the general in Iraq and Iran. She said Americans never imagined that Soleimani's name would stand out like a bright star after his assassination. Zainab Soleimani made the remarks during an interview with Press TV's Inside program. Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian has visited Syria. Coming from Lebanon, the top diplomat held meetings with top officials covering regional and international developments related to the Syrian crisis. Our correspondent Mohammed Ali has the details from Damascus.
Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian met Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in Damascus. Assad said Syria is keen on maintaining continuous coordination with Iran, especially now amid rapid regional and international developments. He reiterated that Syria will not press ahead with talks with Turkey unless the goal was to end Turkish occupation in Syria and the support of terrorist organizations. Abdollahian said any serious dialogue between Syria and Turkey is a positive step for both countries and the region, expressing Iran's trust in Syria's stances and decisions. The top Iranian diplomat held separate talks with his Syrian counterpart, Faisal al-Maqdad, focusing on expanding economic and trade relations between both countries. In a joint press conference, Abdollahian touched upon Syrian-Iranian economic ties.
Our relations with Syria are at their best condition. We must exert our utmost efforts to boost economic ties to the level of our political ones. We agreed to prepare a long-term strategic cooperation document to be signed in the near future.
He indicated to Iran's role in preventing a planned Turkish military operation in northern Syria, welcoming diplomatic efforts for ending disputes between the two neighbors. Miqdad said the visit comes at a critical time amid challenges facing Syria.
The visit comes as we face challenges set by the U.S., the West, Israel, and their proxies. They don't want the Syrian people to heal. Our relations with Iran are strategic, and soon there will be steps taken that prove the depth of relations and both countries' belief in the necessity of enhancing them.
Miqdad said Syria will not forget the repeated Israeli aggressions, promising at the right time Syria will respond and inflict heavy losses on Israel in a way it will regret all its attacks. Amir Abdollahian's visit is part of a regional tour aimed at evaluating developments with Iran's allies. It's a reminder of the strong ties among member states of the Resistance Alliance, despite decades-long attempts to break them by their enemies. Muhammad Ali, Damascus.
An Iranian national with British passport has been executed for spying for the UK government and, quote, extensive action against Iran's national security. Ali Reza Akhbari was sentenced to death more than 2 years after he was arrested. According to a court ruling, Akbari began working with the UK spy agency, the MI6, under the guise of research and trade activities. He had numerous meetings with UK agents in different countries over a long period. He passed on intelligence on key issues, including Iran's domestic and foreign policies, as well as missile and defense programs. Akbari also gave the UK information about nuclear scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, who was assassinated in November of 2020. Britain has reacted to the execution, saying that it will temporarily withdraw its ambassador from Tehran, among other measures.
The UK government made it clear that we would respond, and therefore in response to this execution, we have summoned the Iranian chargé d'affaires. We have imposed sanctions against the prosecutor general, and we have also decided to temporarily withdraw our ambassador for further consultations.
James Cleverly said Britain's response will not necessarily be limited to these measures, and the country will try to deter similar action by Iran. Earlier, Iran's foreign ministry summoned the British ambassador to Tehran to lodge a protest against what it called uncustomary UK interventions in matters concerning Iran's national security. An Iranian national with British residency has been executed for spying for the UK. He was found passing on intelligence and key issues, including Iran's domestic and foreign policies, as well as missile and defense programs. We discussed the issue in our news review program. Let's take a listen. Fahrizadi, professor at the University of Tehran, joins us. We also have Sayed Mohsen Abbas, who's a journalist and political commentator, joining us from London. Welcome to you both, gentlemen. Fahrizadi, I'll first start with you. Many may not have heard the confessions, but the confessions were there from what this man did, and it obviously threatened Iran's national security. I don't think there's any question marks in that regard. Why is there such a what seems to be a very impulsive reaction and spontaneous reaction, for example, coming from the UK government on this?
You know, it's understandable. Mr. Akbari was a major source for MI6. When you lose someone like that, you become upset. And obviously, they cannot say they're upset because they have lost the MI6 contact person. So they bring up old issues of Iran doing this or that. You know, Mr. Akbari was, as you reported, a high-ranking official. He was, for some time, a deputy defense minister for international affairs. He was a bureaucrat within the Iranian government. He was not a politician. He was not, did not have expressed any political views. So why would the government would execute a high-ranking official without any reason? The reason was obvious, and he engaged in espionage. He confessed to engaging in espionage for the British government. And the reaction of the British government is something that you would expect, because it would be difficult for UK to recruit more spies. You know, generally when spies are recruited, they are told that even if you get caught, we'll get you free through prisoner exchange. So if someone gets caught and then is executed, no prisoner exchange is in sight, then other people who may be thinking about working for a foreign government will think twice.
I think Sayed Mohsen Abbas, Fahrizadi raised a very important question there, is why would the Iranian government want to execute one of its former officials unless it had obviously a case to do so? So isn't that a question that many, including the UK government, should ponder?
Well, I think the UK government, which says it believes in the rule of law and has a due process within its own legal system, should recognize that the same exists in the Islamic Republic of Iran. And the Iranian intelligence ministry have gathered more than sufficient evidence, it would seem. They've captured all sorts of evidence through surveillance, through counterintelligence, through their deception operation as well. It was a very intricate, very detailed operation that went around capturing Mr. Ali Akbari. And for somebody with such high-level contacts, clearly he was a very valuable asset. And these assets aren't given away easily, yet the British government didn't say anything because he's been in prison for 2 years. He's been going through a process of trying to go through appeals, having been convicted for corruption on earth, extensive activities against Iran's internal and external interests. He's been caught red-handed with payments to the tune of €1,805,000. £265,000 was also highlighted, and about $50,000. These were some of his ill-gotten gains, and the judicial trial on the 11th concluded and confirmed the evidence to be valid, and basically he's been indicted for undermining the domestic foreign policies, the regional defense, the nuclear negotiations, and the delivery of all sorts of intelligence to the British officers. And it's said very interestingly that he was fully informed and targeted in the way he gave this information to the intelligence officers. So there can be no doubt that this is an operative, and the Iranians do have a system of governance. Had they wanted to kill him, he could have done it a lot earlier. They gave him over 2-3 years to go through this process. That's called due process through the judicial mechanism that's there.
Thank you very much for that. Fuad Izadi, professor at the University of Tehran, and Said Mohsen Abbas, thank you, journalist and political commentator from London. And with that, we come to an end for this news review. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome back. Iran is seeing a sharp rise in its oil exports as the government ramps up initiatives to nullify U.S. sanctions. According to companies that track the flows, Iranian oil exports hit new highs in the last 2 months of 2022 and are also making a strong start to 2023. Companies say that crude exports in December averaged over 1.1 million barrels per day. China is Iran's biggest customer. The former U.S. administration had sought to completely wipe out Iran's oil exports by withdrawing from the 2015 deal known as the JCPOA and reimposing sanctions against the country. The current U.S. administration also says it is robustly enforcing the sanctions and has even imposed new bans. Iran also recently reported an almost 20% year-on-year increase in its non-oil exports. Russia has warned that the U.K.'s bid to supply Ukraine with heavy tanks will escalate the war in Ukraine with Ukraine. The Russian embassy in the U.K. says the tanks will also cause more casualties, including among civilians. The U.K. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak made the pledge to deliver 14 Challenger 2 tanks and additional artillery systems during a phone call with Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky. Ukraine's European allies have sent Kiev over 300 modernized Soviet tanks for the fight against Russia. But this is the first time that any Western country is sending its own heavy armor to Ukraine. Since the beginning of Russia's offensive in Ukraine almost a year ago, the U.S. and Europe have provided Kiev with large consignments of heavy weaponry and imposed waves of unprecedented economic sanctions on Moscow. Author and politician Christoph Horstel offers his take on the U.K.'s plan to supply heavy weaponry for Ukraine.
So the European governments, solely on Washington's request, are in fact in a bloody race, who delivers first the heavy tank armor for Kiev. And that is happening around the whole war. We are doing this against Russia, and that is stupid. And it's a corrupt war started by Kiev on very, very bad reasons. And Washington is pushing us to that. And what happened? Poland sent Leopard 2 tanks first. And then now came London with their Challenger 2 tank. And now there's pressure on the German government mounting, who wanted to send 40 Marders light armored tank, and now are under very, very high pressure from inside Europe, from Washington, to deliver Leopard 2 tanks directly to Kiev. And it is not good for the people. It's not good for the conflict. Zelensky is forbidden to hold peace talks with Russia by Washington. And this kind of situation is really crazy. It's all against European interests. in the town of Soledar, Russia has claimed a very decisive victory in Donbas. And that's a very, very decisive victory. So what happens? Of course, Kiev cannot win this war. And all the rest is stupid, crazy propaganda of warmongers in Washington. And the future development is bankruptcy in Germany and elsewhere.
The death toll from Russia's Saturday attack on the Ukrainian city of Dnipro has risen to 21. Local officials say that nearly three dozen remain missing. The missile strikes also injured 73 people, including dozens who were dragged from under the debris. The attacks destroyed part of an apartment building in the east-central city. Missiles also hit key infrastructure in the capital, Kiev, and elsewhere. The Ukrainian military says Russia used over 100 missiles and artillery shells in the attacks, making them the largest to hit Ukraine in 2 weeks. Russia has been targeting Ukraine's vital sites over the past weeks. Moscow says the aim is pushing Kiev to enter negotiations for a truce. Kiev says the strikes amount to war crimes. And that is for this edition of World News. That's bye-bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 15th, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program. And here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Harold Seuss from Austria, from Juan Francisco Rivas Matias from Spain, and from Frank Thies from the Netherlands. So Harold Seuss, Juan Francisco, and Frank Thies, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And here we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these great emails from India. We've received an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our old and regular listeners. From Algeria, we've received an email from Omar Lassas. And Lu Dacheng, one of our old and regular listeners from China, has sent us an email. From Spain, we've received an email from Juan Francisco Rivas Matias. And the last but not the least is an email from Klaus Hober from Germany. Stay with us, please. first of all, let's go to India and see what Jayanta Chakrabarty tells. Dear producer and all my friends at IRIB English Radio, today, Friday 13th of January, is the blessed day of the birth anniversary of Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, the Immaculate Daughter of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. On this happy and auspicious occasion, I send my heartiest felicitations to the great Muslim Ummah and its noteworthy mothers and women. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you. And thank you very much for this message, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. Thank you for this congratulations message on the birth anniversary of Lady Fatima, peace upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, Prophet of Islam, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. As you said, this blessed birthday happened to be on Friday, January 13th, which is marked as Mother's Day and Women's Week in the Islamic Republic of Iran. So congratulations to all women and mothers around the world on this auspicious occasion. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, thank you again. And thank you for this congratulations message on the blessed birth anniversary of Hazrat Fatima, peace upon her. Anyway, we wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, and please accept our EQSL as verification. And from Algeria, we've received an email from Omar Lassas. So let's see what Omar Lassas says. In the name of Allah, the most gracious and the most merciful. Dear friends in the English section of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Assalamu alaikum. I hope you are doing well. First of all, I would like to send you and all the listeners my heartiest congratulations and my sincerest wishes on the occasion of the new year 2023. I wish a very happy and wonderful new year to all listeners of the English service of IRIB Radio. I would also like to take this happy opportunity to thank you for all your efforts throughout this year for the daily broadcast of your programs. I appreciate all these efforts that allowed us to continue listening to our favorite radio station. Best wishes from Algeria. First of all, salam to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Warm greetings to you, Omar Lassas from Algeria. And warm gratitude to you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much indeed for this great email, Omar Lassas from Algeria. And please accept our electronic QSL as verification. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Omar Lassas from Algeria. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. So here we just heard a piece of traditional Iranian music, which I really enjoyed it. And we go to China, where here we've received an email from Lu Dacheng, one of our old and regular listeners from China. Lu Dacheng says, "Dear English section of IRIB English Radio, hello, I am Lu Dacheng from China. I am a translator of English and Spanish. I am also a radio listener. I like listening to the international radio stations very much. I like collecting verification cards. I like the design of QSL cards issued by IRIB. If you can, please send me one EQSL card of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Many thanks. I like the QSL cards of Iranian monuments and sightseeing very much. I want to visit the Islamic Republic of Iran in the future. I want to enclose some views of snow photos of China in winter. Please check them. Salam and warm greetings to you from the snowy Tehran. And thank you very much for sending this email to us, Luda Cheng from China. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification, since sending any material, including paper QSL, on behalf of IRIB English Radio to our listeners is not possible. So at the time being, we just send you electronic QSL as verification. So please accept it from us. It's good to hear that you like Iran and its nature and historical monuments. We wish you visit Iran very soon and enjoy its attractions. Luda Cheng from China. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So here we've received an email from Spain. Yes, from Juan Francisco Rivas Matias. Let's see what Juan tells us. Dear staff, I hope you find my reception report useful, and if the details are correct, I would appreciate it if you verify it with one of your QSL cards. If possible, I would like to receive some sticker from your station. Sincerely, Juan Francisco Rivas Matias. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to Juan Francisco Rivas Matias from Spain. Yes, the reception reports are always helpful. Thank you for them, because they enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. Thank you for that. And Juan, please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. Thank you again, Juan Francisco Rivas Matias from Spain. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. And Klaus Huber from Germany, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Klaus says, "Dear team of IRIB, today I had the luck to receive a transmission of one of your medium wave stations, and I ask you kindly to confirm this reception. If it's possible, because I am collecting stations on medium wave from around the world, and it's been the first time I got IRIB radio. I am 61 years old and working as priest near the German-Austrian border. I listened to the German service of IRIB for the first time in 1976. It's a pity that you don't broadcast in German anymore. I will be very happy if you confirm my report. All the best from Germany." Salam and warm greetings to you from the snowy Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to Klaus Huber from Germany. Please accept our appreciations to you for this email, and please accept our electronic QSL as verification. It's good to hear that you were able to receive our signals near the German-Austrian border. It's really wonderful. So we wish you all the best. We wish you luck. Please keep in touch with us, IRIB English Radio, and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Klaus Huber from Germany, one of our old and regular listeners. Thank you very much for your email. And as I always say, art is long, but life is short, and we have to say goodbye. But before ending this edition of Listeners Special, I do send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Harald Seuss from Austria, Juan Francisco Rivas, Matthias from Spain, Frank Thies from the Netherlands, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, Omar Lassas from Algeria, Lu Dasheng from China, and Klaus Hober from Germany. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us with IRIB English Radio and your favorite program, Listeners Special. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human dignity, and we said it is the essence of the human being himself, and all other rights are in fact trying to preserve that essence of him. One of the things that we see when we look at the Islamic teachings, when we look at the Quran, for example, or we look at the words and the traditions of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salamullah, again we see that they give the human being a lot of value. Not just value, but in fact a lot of value. Why? Because obviously, if we have to go back to the beginning, he was the only creature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered his angels to prostrate to. And you all know the story. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the heavens and the earth under His command and for His service. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave him and made him the carrier of the trust, or as we call it, al-amana. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him to be His vicegerent and to be His leader on earth. And through these things, we can see that this human being is being glorified and honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such a state that no other creatures has been given such value and such honor. And then we get to look at the point where we say, well, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human being all these things, and Allah has honored him and dignified him, now, does the human being himself has the right to devalue, degrade himself or not? Or should he or she try to elevate themselves and make sure that what Allah has given them stays? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created the human beings as a body, obviously, he gave it the soul, and the body deals with materialistic matter, and the soul deals with the spiritual aspect of him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the human being to preserve his spiritual side, because through his spiritual side, all these things that we've mentioned that Allah has given to mankind is preserved. If a person tries to neglect that spiritual aspect of him, he degrades himself to the state of animals, as the Quran says. Now, what happens when you live in a system where it forces people, either directly, indirectly, consciously, subconsciously, it tries to bring a person's spirituality to zero and turns him into a materialistic animal, a person that only cares about food, drinking, eating, having a partner and chasing money and chasing this world. And then all the honor that Allah has given him goes out of the door. Because now, sadly, we live in a system, or at least in a world, where spirituality means nothing, or at least is frowned upon, or even not even considered to be, to say the least. Or if someone wants to practice it, they will be labeled as crazy, or at least, you know, as we call them, cuckoos. Now, what's going on here? I mean, where are we heading? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorifies me. He gives me all these divine aspects, and someone else wants to take it away from me and degrade me and takes my dignity that Allah has given me. Is that correct? Is that even allowed? Let us take a break and then we'll continue right after.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So as we said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he gave me all these things, he wanted to be preserved, he wanted to be protected, human value, for human dignity, his respect needs to be maintained. Now, we live in systems where now it's becoming systematic in a way that there are people, and not just one, two, there are entire systems trying to work and try to deprive the human being of all those values that Allah has given them and turn them from a human being that has value and worth to something worthless. Let's look at the West, for example. When they looked at women, they turned them into an object, whether it is to sell a product or to sell women themselves and turn them into a sexual objects. Now, that is degrading females, taking them from a point where Allah made them so high, and those people bring them down. Or when you look at males, for example, they've been turned into batteries where all they do is work and try to make sure that they're paying big brother, if we can say the least. So they are no longer have the value of a human being as well. And the children are being turned into batteries in the making, basically. So they teach them, they educate them, but their education is only to teach them how to perform a certain task when they grow older. They don't teach them to think. They don't teach them to be free thinkers. They don't teach them to create and innovate and become, you know, changers of life. No, the education system that we have, it just teaches you how to perform a certain job once you get older. And you choose that job. Either you want to be a doctor, we'll teach you how to manage that. You want to be an engineer, we'll teach you how to manage that. But do I become a free thinker and choose for my own? No, of course not. Now, that's a problem. Now, human rights, it's not just to make sure that I have food or I have the essentials like power, gas, or water and this and that. Sometimes, as a human being, I'm better off without all these things. I would rather live in a desert without having all these, you know, things that they think they're giving me for free, or at least they have provided me, which is, I mean, nothing is for free these days, and maintain my dignity and maintain my self-value. I don't want a person to turn me into a human being that is just a vegetable, or as these days we call them, zombies. It is our right to navigate ourselves through this world and navigate this world by ourselves. I should not be turned into an object or advertisement for someone else or for someone else's product, which is what they're doing to us. So we are the great creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, great creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to maintain that. We need to maintain this dignity. Sometimes me and you, subconsciously, we turn ourselves into what the West wants us to be without realizing. So we need to at least wake up and try to say to ourselves that we are human beings. We are glorified and dignified, and we need to keep it as such. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight. Alan Weisselberg, a longtime executive for Donald Trump, who served as the star prosecution witness in the criminal trial of the former president's real estate company, was sentenced on Tuesday, 10th of January, to 5 months behind bars. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Associated Press has covered the story and tells us more. Alan Weisselberg, a longtime executive for Donald Trump's business empire, was taken into custody on Tuesday, 10th of January, to begin serving a 5-month jail term for dodging taxes on $1.7 million in job perks. A punishment, the judge who sentenced him said, was probably too lenient for a case driven entirely by greed. Alan Weisselberg, a 75-year-old, was promised the short sentence in August when he agreed to plead guilty to 15 tax crimes and to be a witness against the Trump Organization, where he worked since the mid-1980s. His testimony helped convict the former president's company, where he had served as chief financial officer of tax fraud. But when he made the sentence official on Tuesday, Judge Juan Manuel Merchan said that after listening to Weisselberg's trial testimony, he regretted that the penalty wasn't tougher. He said he was especially appalled by testimony that Weisselberg gave his wife a $6,000 check for a no-show job so that she could qualify for Social Security benefits. Had he not already promised to give Alan Weisselberg 5 months, Judge Merchan said, I would be imposing a sentence much greater than that. I'm not going to deviate from the promise, though I believe a stiffer sentence is warranted, having heard the evidence, he added. Weisselberg, who came to court dressed for jail rather than his usual suit, was handcuffed and taken away by court officers just moments the sentence was announced. He was taken to New York City's notorious Rikers Island complex, where he was expected to be housed in an infirmary unit. He will be eligible for release after little more than 3 months if he behaves behind bars. Weisselberg's sentencing also marked the end of his career at the Trump Organization, where he had been on leave since the fall, continuing to make $1.14 million in salary and bonuses, even as he was testifying against the company. His lawyer, Nicholas Gravante, said, as of Tuesday, the executive and the company have amicably parted ways. As part of the plea agreement, Alan Weisselberg was required to pay $2 million in back taxes, penalties and interest, which prosecutors said he has done. Prosecutors recommended a 6-month jail sentence, but Judge Merchan said he settled on 5 months in part because of mitigating factors such as Weisselberg's military service and stint as a public school teacher. In addition, Judge Merchant ordered Weisselberg to complete 5 years of probation after he leaves jail. Gravante had asked the judge for an even lighter sentence than the one in the plea bargain, citing Weisselberg's age and far from perfect health. He has already been punished tremendously by the disgrace that he has brought not only on himself but on his wife, his sons, and his grandchildren, Gravante said. Weisselberg faced the prospect of up to 15 years in prison, the maximum punishment for the top grand larceny charge, if he were to have reneged on his deal or if he didn't testify truthfully at the Trump Organization's trial. Weisselberg is the only person charged in the Manhattan District Attorney's 3-year investigation of Donald Trump and his business practices. The Reuters news agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. Alan Weisselberg, a longtime executive for Donald Trump who served as the star prosecution witness in the criminal trial of the former president's real estate company, was sentenced on Tuesday, 10th of January, to 5 months behind bars for helping engineer a 15-year tax fraud scheme at the Trump Organization. Weisselberg, a 75-year-old, is expected to be sent to New York's notorious Rikers Island jail. The Trump Organization's former chief financial officer pleaded guilty in August, admitting that from 2005 through to 2017, he and other executives received bonuses and perks that saved the company and themselves money. The sentence was imposed by Justice Juan Merchan in a New York State court in Manhattan, who oversaw the trial of the Trump Organization, which was convicted in December on all counts it faced. Though no longer the chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg remains on paid leave from the Trump Organization. Weisselberg wore an olive green North Face jacket and a blue mask at his sentencing, and once at the jail, will likely be given a uniform and sneakers with Velcro straps. Weisselberg, who also has paid about $2 million in taxes, penalties and interest as part of his punishment, will likely serve 100 days in jail with time off for good behavior. The jail time will probably not be easy for Weisselberg at a facility known for violence, drugs and corruption. 19 inmates at Rikers Island Jail died last year. "You're going into a Byzantine black hole," said Craig Rothford, a prison consultant helping Weisselberg prepare for lockup. Many convicts in New York City facing 1 year or less behind bars head to Rikers Island, which lies between the New York City boroughs of Queens and the Bronx and houses more than 5,900 inmates. Rothfeld spent more than 5 weeks at Rikers Island in 2015 and 2016 as part of an 18-month sentence for defrauding investors and tax authorities at a company he once led. He now runs Inside Outside Limited, which advises people facing incarceration. Rothfeld said he hopes Alan Weisselberg will be segregated from the general population and not placed in a dormitory where inmates who may not know him but will know his boss, who is seeking the presidency in 2024. Certainly, Mr. Weisselberg's 50-year relationship with the former president is on all of our minds, Rothfeld said. A spokesman for New York City's Department of Correction said the agency's mission is to create a safe and supportive environment for everyone who enters our custody. Rikers Island Jail is scheduled to close in 2027.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha.
on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This beautiful hadith is about those people who lead others astray. As you know, leading other people astray is very bad. In one hadith, not the hadith we want to recite today, but in another hadith, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Verily the most evil of people in the sight of Allah is the tyrannical leader who himself has gone astray, and through whom others go astray as well. He abolishes, establishes practices, and revives abandoned innovations." So just as guiding people to the right path is something very good and virtuous, and you know, the person who guides people to the right path, not only is he doing something good and gaining a reward, but the people who are guided by means of him and who perform good deeds and are rewarded because of those good deeds, when those people perform those good deeds, this person who guided them, you know, he also gets a portion and some reward for that. And this is something that remains. This is one of those instances and cases of baqiyatu salihat, as they say, you know, righteous deeds that remain in this world even after a person has gone away. Conversely, a person who leads other people astray, right, even after he has died, right, let's say that he wrote a book that in which there was incorrect information, and because of that he guided people away from the right path. He misguided people and he led them away from the right path. You know, if this book remains even after he died and people continue to be misguided because of it, he will continue to get punished, and he will see the evil consequences of this in the hereafter, even after he has gone. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Verily the most detested of all people in the sight of Allah are two. The man who Allah has relegated to his own carnal self, so he has deviated from the straight path and is passionately fond of talking about innovations and misguiding others towards the wrong path. He tempts those who are charmed by him. He himself has strayed away from the guidance of his predecessors and misleads those who follow him during his life as well as after his death." This is a reference to what we were talking about. "He carries the burdens of others' sins and is entangled in his own misdeeds." Okay, so this is a very, very grave sin, and that's why it's important. Like, for example, when you want to, you know, help somebody and guide him to the right path, let's say, it's important to be sure about what you're talking about. Like, for example, say you want to recite a hadith for a person, make sure that you're reciting the hadith in a proper way. Let's say that you want to inform somebody about a religious ruling, an edict, you know, a law. Make sure you have correct knowledge and you're sure about it. Reference it. Check it before you do so. You don't want to tell this person the wrong ruling and end up misguiding the person instead of guiding him and then seeing the evil consequences of that. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at those who lead others astray in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This one lay.
Joining us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.